You know, there's some of you may know this, but many of you may have unclaimed money out there that you don't even know about. You know, there's a website. You can probably find somebody who knows this stuff. There's a website that you can go to and find out if you have unclaimed money. So you got money out there. Some of y'all got money out there that you don't even know about. So you must not want it. And but go ahead and get it, and we'll appreciate it in the building fund. Amen. But so the first thing that I want to know is what I've won. Now, you know what? There were so many different directions that I could have gone to talk about what we have won. But I just want to kind of narrow it down to three that I think is relevant to even our attitude about the lottery. Now, you know, again, I don't play the lottery. I don't encourage people to play the lottery. But I know some of y'all had some tickets this week.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of We're a Winner. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of We're a Winner.
But the one thing that I want to point out was the little girl, and she said we're losers. And that was... That got to my heart, and I just began to say, well, you know, in Christ, we're winners. And we need to understand as Christians, and even as we get this message out to other people, that in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57, it says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And as Christians, we're winners. We've hit the mega jackpot. And sometimes, you know, we are not, you know, there's so much in there. And I thought about the song that we just sang a second ago about loving to praise the Lord's name. And you got all these people coming out, getting in their car, putting gas in their car, putting energy in, thousands of people coming out, didn't win anything, but just to cheer the fact that there was a lottery winner. And I thought to myself, I said, man, you know, we need some people, God's people, that need to begin to praise him like that and realize that we already hit the jackpot, we already hit the lottery. And that we have something to be excited about. You know, you follow up on some of these people that won the lottery, and you see that many of them are in poverty now because they didn't know how to spend the money. Now, just as I was watching the news and things of that nature, I just started writing down some things that just jumped out at me. Let me just share with you a couple of them. Of course, there was a little girl who was crying that we are losers because her family did not win the lottery. In the state of California, they sold 85 million tickets just on Wednesday to the lottery. One lady bought $1,500 worth of tickets and didn't win a thing. Somebody played a cruel joke on their mom. He said, told his mother that she had won, and then told her later that she didn't. So I don't see the joy in that joke right there. And there were also some people in New York who thought they won. They were going by the picking of another day. They thought they won, and they quit their jobs. And as a matter of fact, one of the guys parked cars. And when he found out that he thought he was a winner, somebody asked him to get the car, and he said, you get your own car. And then there was a book that somebody was advertising, How to Increase Your Chances in Winning the Lottery. Now, I'm thinking, people going through all that, when we got a book, We got a Savior that tells us how we can hit the big lottery, God's jackpot. And so I want to speak to you this morning on this thought. We're a winner. We're a winner. If you'll pull out your notes in 1 Corinthians 15, this is what's known as the resurrection chapter. And in verses 1 through 11, Paul talks about the literal resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then in verses 12 through 34, he deals with the people and their bodies and how that those who have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, that one day, because Christ rose from the dead, we have the guarantee that our bodies are going to literally rise from the dead. Brother Morris Bradford, Sister Florence Medrano, their bodies, their spirits might have left their bodies this past week, but one day their bodies are going to rise because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 57, Paul reaches the crescendo of this whole, he's been building it up this whole time, and he reaches the crescendo in verse 57. He says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory. And the word victory there, and I've preached this on many occasions from this pulpit, comes from the Greek word nikos, which we get the word Nike from. Thanks be to God who gives us the swoosh, the Nike victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful truth. Now look at this, saints. What a wonderful truth. That we don't have to do anything to win the victory. You don't have to do a thing to win the victory. The victory has already been won. The only thing that you have to do is just stay in the race. And I'm going to tell you this morning what we have and what we need to do. So the first thing that I want to know, if I've won something, if I've won the victory, well, what is it that I've won? You know, there's, some of you may know this, but many of you may have unclaimed money out there that you don't even know about. You know, there's a website. You can probably find somebody who knows this stuff. There's a website that you can go to and find out if you have unclaimed money. So you got money out there. Some of y'all got money out there that you don't even know about. So you must not want it, and but go ahead and get it, and we'll appreciate it in the building fund. Amen. But so the first thing that I want to know is what I've won. Now, you know what? There were so many different directions that I could have gone to talk about what we have won. But I just want to kind of narrow it down to three that I think is relevant to even our attitude about the lottery. Now, you know, again, I don't play the lottery. I don't encourage people to play the lottery. But I know some of y'all had some tickets this week. All right, let me say that, and I'll leave it alone. All right. But there are some things that we can look at, because, you know, what are three things that people who play the lottery are looking for if they hit it big? They're looking for, number one, an abundant life. Number two, prosperity. And number three, they're looking for blessings. I mean, if you hit it, whether you had to divide it three ways or you got it all yourself, you know, those would be three things that if you sat down and talked to somebody, you know, what would be, you know, the thing that you would want to get out of this? And I would have to say, again, there may be other things, but these would be three key things right here that would come up. And so the first thing that we look at is what Jesus said. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus said that I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The two Greek words used here, zoe, there's bios life, which is physical life, and then there's zoe, which is spiritual life. Jesus is talking about spiritual life. I have come that you might have spiritual life, and the other word, perossos, means superabundant in quality. Superabundant in quality. So what as believers, what have we done? We have hit the jackpot with supernatural, superabundant spiritual life. If you are walking around in defeat and discouragement, it's not God's fault. I'm not saying that we're not going to have problems. I'm going to deal with that a little bit later in the message. But we need to operate every day from the standpoint that I have an overflowing, I have an overabundant, supernatural, spiritual life. You ask somebody how they're doing, they say, I'm doing all right under the circumstances. Well, what you doing under the circumstances? You need to get on top of the circumstances. Don't let the circumstances overwhelm you or load you down. So the first thing, people who play the lottery, they're looking for a better life. Wow. A better life. You already got it. You already have it. Whether I win the lottery or not, I have a supernatural, abundant, spiritual life. I have this ability to communicate with the divine creator of the universe. And whatever I need, as long as I'm lining up with his plan, lining up with his purpose, he's going to supply whatever I need. Supernatural abundance. That's a powerful life. And so whether you hit it or not, that's one thing that you have. The second thing that you have is prosperity. In Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Shall prosper. You have prosperity. Now, it's interesting that the word prosper, look at the notes, the word prosper in the Hebrew is seleah. And the root meaning of this word, I like this right here. It means to accomplish satisfactory what is intended, out of the theological word book of the Old Testament. That whatever God lays on your heart, he will allow you to be prosperous. He will allow you to accomplish it. It will come to pass if you will delight in his law, if you will walk in his way, that you will be prosperous. You will have all the resources, all the money, all the provisions, whatever it is that you need to accomplish the goal that God has called you to accomplish. You have prosperity. You're looking at this thing the wrong way. Many people are looking at what they don't have. You should be looking at what you do have. The fact that you have a roof over your head, the fact that you have clothes on your back, the fact that you are not like most of the people in third world countries, that many of you probably had a somewhat decent meal today if you wanted to have one, that you are prosperous. You are prosperous. And you know, we go around and we are so upset, like the little girl. You know, I mean, just think what her parents, just think about this. What had her parents poured into her? What had they put in her mind? You know, for her, not just to say when they lost, oh, well, you know, we lost, what's next? Which is what, you know, a lot of little kids would have did. Oh, well, you know. But can you imagine what they must have been feeding her? That we're going to be able to do this. That you're going to do that. You're going to be able to do this. And this little girl got this. Now think about it. She got this down in her spirit. And when they lost, it so affected her that she began to cry. And the first thing out of her mouth is that we're losers. We're losers. My brothers and sisters, we need to realize that God will allow us to accomplish the things that he has called us to accomplish. And then the third thing that we see that we have won through this victory in Jesus Christ is blessings. David wrote in Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And I wanted to see what that word benefits meant in the Hebrew. And so I went and looked it up, and it means God's good treatment. God's good treatment that you have. And then if you want to read some of the benefits, what a benefits package that we have in Psalm 103. If you want to read some of the benefits, just go on and read it. Who healeth thy diseases, who filleth thy mouth with good things, who reneweth thy youth like the eagle. You know, and so he lists all these things. God's good treatment of us. I've never made a fortune, and it's probably too late now, but I don't worry about that much because I'm happy anyhow. As I go along life's journey, I'm reaping better than I sow. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. I haven't got a lot of riches, and sometimes the going gets tough, if you move to that next slide. But I've got a friend in Jesus, and that makes me rich enough. I thank God for his blessings and the mercies that he's bestowed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. I remember times when things went wrong, my faith wore somewhat thin. But all at once, the dark clouds broke and the sun peeped through again. So Lord, help me not gripe about the tough roads I've had to hoe. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. If God gives me strength and courage when the way grows steep and rough, I'll not ask for other blessings. Hey, 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 I'm already blessed enough. And may I never be too busy to help others with their loads. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. We have blessings beyond all measures. Just think back through 2015, what you've been through. Some people spent time in the hospital. Some people struggled to pay their bills. Some people dealt with relationship issues, emotional issues. And yet and still, in spite of all that, God has brought you through. He has blessed you abundantly. You are a winner. You are a winner. And as we think about the fact that we're winners, what are some characteristics of winners? Well, all we have to do is go to the very next verse in 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 58. He says, "Therefore, my beloved brother, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Now, in verse 57, he already said that you won the victory. Verse 58, he tells you the only thing that you got to do. The only thing that you have to do. The victory's already been won. The only thing you have to do, first of all, you have to have a sincere dedication. Notice the word steadfast. It means to sit down or be seated. It has the idea of being seated and firmly rooted in your belief. That you, when you are steadfast, that you are rooted and grounded in what you believe in, and that it permeates in your heart. It permeates in your soul. That because winners have a personal conviction, they are dedicated to their cause. What is your cause this morning? Are you thinking like a winner? Are you thinking like a winner? I shared the illustration here many times before about the man who went into the Chinese tattoo shop, and he had a tattoo that said loser. And somebody came in and they saw it and they said, who in the world would want a tattoo loser on their body? And the Chinese man said, tattoo already on mine before on body. Tattoo already on mine before on body. Some of y'all need to get this message, and maybe not for you. You might not be a loser, but you might need to get this message and share it with somebody else. Because I'm sure all of us see people that are struggling. They're floundering, they're wandering around without any commitment or any purpose or any direction in life. They are not dedicated to anything. And first and foremost, we as Christians are dedicated to Jesus Christ. But above and beyond that, what cause are you dedicated to? David, when he saw the armies of God being taunted by the giant Goliath, he went out there and he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that taunts the armies of the living God? And his brother said, look, just go back home and watch those sheep. And David said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason to fight? Don't you have a reason to fight? What are you dedicated to? What are you standing for? For the cause of Christ. You already got the victory. All you got to do is walk in the victory. Find the cause and get busy about what God would have you to do. See, some people are fighting causes, but they're fighting the wrong cause. Fighting the cause of how to destroy things, how to tear things down. But you got to find a good and godly cause. Like, don't be like the man who was taking this load of penguins, 500 penguins. He was taking them to be delivered to this one place, and his truck broke down. And another man came along, and he said, man, you got a truck. He said, can you take these penguins? He gave him, you know, all the information to give the man, and he paid him $1,000 to take the penguins and deliver them. So he got his truck fixed. The next day, he saw the man walking down the street with the penguins. He jumped out of it. He said, I thought I told you to take these penguins and deliver them. I thought I told you to take these penguins. I paid you money to take these penguins and deliver them. He said, well, when you gave me the money, he said, I did take them somewhere. I took them to the movies. And after that, we went to the park. And I used the $1,000 that you gave. He misunderstood what he was supposed to be about. And there's a lot of God's people misunderstand.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of We're a Winner. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, We're a Winner, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request We're a Winner. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request We're a Winner. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.